Hey everybody and welcome. This is Donovan Bankhead with Springfield Music, and I appreciate you dropping in and listening to the podcast. With the Bow Better Bands podcast, my intention is to talk with our fellow educators across the state and share some of their best tips, tricks, and best practices. Also, maybe even share some of the things that they're struggling with so that we can help each other out, because we're all dealing with so many of the same issues in your programs. And us, as your school music dealer, want to try to be a resource to help you solve some of these challenges and issues. So anyway, we always appreciate you listening. And if you have ideas or tips or would like to be featured on the podcast, reach out to me and let me know. Donovan@springfield-music.com. All right, let's jump in.
Hey folks, I want to hear from you. If you have thoughts on today's episodes, have a suggestion for a future guest, or just have something you want to ask or share, look in the show notes of your podcasting app and click the link to send in a voice message. We'd love to hear from you.
So in this special part two episode of the conversation with our first year teachers, I wanted to ask them, what were some of the things that you wish you learned in college? In today's episode, our panelists from the previous episode, which was Haley Kessner, Aubrey Kennedy, Brandon Geiger, Kaylin Knost, and Kayla Noggle, are going to share some of the things they wish they knew. So if you are a college administrator in a music department, you need to listen to this episode.
I've shared this story before. My wife and I both got our degrees from University of Tulsa, both music education degrees. And we both went to really good school programs too. She went to OWASO. I went to Tulsa Union. She did her student teaching at Collinsville, which is a really great 3A program in Oklahoma. And I did my student teaching at Broken Arrow with Darren Davis and Steve Ento. So I just felt like we had just tremendous educational experiences. And then our college was had a really great music and music ed program. Very fortunate there. Had some great people there. And while I never went to be a band director, my wife obviously did. And for her first teaching job, being the dutiful and curious husband, I was helping her with it. And I remember the feeling of panic and overwhelm that we felt as she was getting ready for that first summer camp, realizing like almost our entire life has been spent getting us to this moment and we don't know how to start or exactly what to do. And at that time I realized, okay, college has taught us how to learn how to do this job, how to learn how to be a band director, but not necessarily does it give us everything that we needed. So you guys have had 1 year now and a strange year of being a pandemic year, but I'd like for us to share some things that we really wish we had learned in college or things that maybe should have had more experience with.
I have three big things. One of them is one that I'm really grateful that I had, and that was a fall student teaching experience, because I got to experience the starting of the year and the starting of beginning band. And I feel like if I had student taught in the spring, I would have struggled a lot more, especially with the beginning of the year, because sure, you have your technique classes and you have all that kind of things, but nothing will actually prepare you for the start of marching season, instrument testing, getting kids, the whole thing of starting the year. There's nowhere in there have we ever really been taught how to do that? And so getting to student teach in the fall, I was really happy about that because I got to experience that.
That's such a great one. And you're totally right. I mean, how many of you graduated in 4 years? Oh, thank God. Okay. Four and a half. Okay. Five. And then I think that was everybody. So no one else 6 years like me. I was an accounting major my first year, and then switched to music because they offered me more money. So, which that's the kind of thing that a trumpet player would make, which is you'll pay me more money right now to do it, even though I'll make less money over. Yeah, I'll do it. That's fine. I wanted to play music anyway. So it didn't take much. That's such a great point. You're right. Because normally you would do your student teaching in the spring, at which point everyone's already started their beginner instruments. Like you don't see that, which is one of the hardest things to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd already shared the story of trying to start summer band camp and kind of like, I remember my summer band camp, but I was a freshman trying to pick all this stuff up. how, you know, I don't really know exactly how it was taught. And also I don't know the behind the scenes of how it was all organized to be taught. So you missed all that. So really all you're getting is concerts, which is probably the part you're actually the most comfortable with.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult, but I feel like that skill of rehearsing an ensemble for contests, which you don't get to do much as a student teacher anyways, because the director is like, yeah, that's cute. No, I'm going to do this. And then you'll get a piece at the last concert, you know? Boy, you're right. So we need to find a way to add on a semester or remove a semester one way or the other, or adapt it where you're doing your student teaching in the fall, regardless of how long it's taking you. I think that would be tremendous. Okay. I'm voting for that. You said you had three. That's a great one. Go ahead. What's the next one?
And then dealing with a lack of communication, and not necessarily just a lack of communication from parents, a lack of communication from admin sometimes, because I would find out things that were happening from my students, like things that were happening that day from the kids. And I was like, they're like, oh yeah, didn't you know about this thing that's happening today? I was like, no, I sure didn't. Thank you. I'm like, the last day of school, we had a half day, and apparently they were going to send, I was at the middle school that whole half day, because I was like, you know, I've got a checkout here, so I won't go to the high school today. I'll just stay at the middle school today. And we fed them a lunch, but no one had told me that I was going to have my usual band kids for lunch. And so they were all waiting outside for me to come get them. And then they came in and they were like, where were you? And I was like, what? I was supposed to come get you. And they're like, yeah. I was like, oh, well, nobody told me that.
Haley, you have a good story about communication.
I enrolled my honor band students to audition for the wrong district. And two of them got in, and a week later, they told me, no, you don't belong here. Brandon and Aubrey got them.
I remember
Snapchats
that.
Snapchats and the messages.
Yeah. Panic.
Communication is one of the hardest things to do for anybody, business, education. It's so difficult. We do an annual employee survey. I feel like we have a nice place to work. I feel like we generally have happy employees, and I feel like we're a good employer. We care for our people and try to do all the right things for them. But on the survey, we still every year, they're like, well, I kind of wish the communication was a little better around here. And we do everything we can, but it is so difficult to remember what to communicate. Sometimes you intend to do it, but then you don't. And yeah, it's a challenge. I totally get it.
And my last thing real quick is just in college, we're all doing the same music ed classes. We're all motivated to be there. We all want to be there. But how do you motivate unmotivated students and unmotivated parents? And I don't think that's something I'm ever going to figure out. But if I could try to start figuring it out earlier, that would be better.
That's a great one. I don't have an answer, but it's a great one. Bribes. Sorry to keep plugging the podcast. I'm really not intending to, but I've been so, I shouldn't say, I'm not surprised or amazed, but just so pleased with how great some of the episodes are. But the one from Carthage, Jennifer Sager and Sal Prado, theirs was fantastic. They talked about using basically their high school band trip to Disney World and to the beach as a recruiting tool for a beginning band and getting kids to, like, who wants to go to the beach with their friends without their parents? And every kid raised their hands like, join band. Like, I think that handled a lot of their issues for them. That's a great one, though.
My entire family's in education, and so we talk. I've got a lot of close people to talk to about all of this stuff, which is great. But one thing we've always kind of joked about is I'd rather deal with, like, an angry student or child than an adult, angry adult or anything. And going into this year, I'm like, I very much so agree with that, because you're helping that child become a person, and the adult is a person. And that's that's just how they treat people. That's how they talk to people. And so it's, I think we mentioned this earlier, of when you get those angry emails or mean emails, like, maybe they're just wanting somebody to blame for something or letting off some steam, but, like, those words don't hurt any less. And so it's hard. We've gotten some very angry emails, but I'll continue going with the things that I wish I learned I've got two parts to mine. My first one, and Kayla can attest to this, at Lindenwood, they put a very big emphasis on music technology. And all of my professors, I love all of the music professors at Lindenwood very, very much and respect them a lot. And except for when they tell us repeatedly, you know, this music tech stuff is really important. It's really, really important. And I was like, me and Kayla were like, we're never going to use any of this. So it's not important. And then this year we're like, trying to like, we're recording concerts and we're trying to get out these recordings and setting up microphones and which microphones should I be using in the classroom to use with this recording and what's going to get the best thing and what cables do I use. The one thing I remember is the correct way to wrap the cables. So I know that, but like, but anything else, it was like, how do I do this and then plug this in? And then we've got to get like both of the microphones working. And it was like, where do we set them? It was like everything. I was like, I have truly disappointed everyone because I learned this. I know I did. And I was like, I will never use this. And they were like, you will. And I was like, no, I won't.
Okay, I have to go in with that because I remember in music tech, like not even that, just in concerts, like helping out, setting up the stages. Like I remember proudest moment was learning how to plug in a microphone. Okay. So like plug it in, turn around. I'm like, I did that. And now if I had to set up a concert by myself, it would not happen. Acoustic. That's what would happen. Terrible.
100%. Like I said, at Lindenwood, we have like this whole thing. It's a really like the music tech class and like music business program is really big there. So it's like, it's hit into us of like, this stuff is important, you need to know it. So I wish I would have paid a little more attention. But the one thing I do feel like would be so helpful to start implementing in college classes is some sort of like instrument repair crash course, because like the first time we were in class, one of the first times, I had this high schooler come to me. I felt like, talk about like something to just make you feel like, what am I doing here? I don't know what I'm doing. I had this child come up to me with a bassoon and he just handed it to me and goes, it's not working. And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do with that. Like, I don't know. I don't know. So we like kind of sat down together and like, I tried to be like, yeah, like, why don't you try this out? And oh, did you try that? And he's like, well, you know, this has been, I'm like, yes, you know, that's what I was going to say. And I think that just needs to go to the shop. It was like,
what instrument did you say they handed you?
A bassoon.
Yeah. Repair techs don't know how to fix that either. The repair tech would look at that and be like,
well, and reminder, in our woodwind technique class, double reeds were never covered.
Yes.
Ever.
Yes, our teacher skipped over them. So.
Yeah, mine too.
It was one of the scariest moments. And I was like, we not only skipped over these instruments, but like, I literally was like, I don't know how to help you, but I can't tell you that I don't know how to help you. I'll admit, like, I'm not sure. Let's work through it together. But I'm not going to be like, I have no idea.
That sounded like a TikTok intro, the way you said that. Tell me you don't know how to fix this without telling me you don't know how to fix it. You just hold up a bassoon. So our, again, Paul Schmidt, head of our repair shops, he has for many times done this for university methods classes. So for a few of the universities in our areas, we provide all their instruments for their methods classes. And we do this for Missouri State. We do this for Missouri Southern. And for some of those classes, he's done like a kind of basic emergency repair workshop. And I just kind of made a note that should, and sometimes we do other things like how to interview and stuff like that. But that maybe ought to just be like our thing. Like, all right, we're just going to do kind of a repair crash course. And so when we go in and do the flute class, it's 1 hour in that class. So 1 hour a semester. And we, you know, just, all right, today we're just going to go through how to fix your flute and the basics. You won't be able to like, you know, be a repair tech or anything, but like, at least then when the kid comes up to you as they're getting ready for the concert and like the springs out and the keys flopping around, you'd at least know how to do that, you know, some stuff like that. So that's a really good idea.
So I was going to say, definitely as far as the maintenance goes, because I remember literally begging my teachers to teach me how to fix instruments, because I was like, I know that I'm going to have to do this. And I know we don't have time to cover it in our classes, but I need to know how to do this. And one of them handed me this little tiny red book that was like, here's how you fix all little instruments. Like, here's little fixes on instruments. So I'm like, okay. So when this bassoon player comes up to me, I'm going to be like, hold on just a minute. Let me find the page for the bassoon.
That's how to destroy a $10,000 instrument right there.
Right?
I had worked at Tulsa Band for several years. Is how I got started in this industry. And I worked with a guy named John Duda, who's a legend in the brass field and stuff. And John's one of those people that when he would take the dent out of a brass instrument, just would make it look so easy. And I was in college at the time, and I dented my trumpet, as one does. And so I thought, I can take this dent out. I've seen John do it a million times. And so I go over to the dent machine and proceed to just basically ruined the bell on my $3,000 instrument, you know, and I'm sitting there going like, oh my God. And then he comes in the next day, I have it on this bench, and he like starts yelling, what did you do? I felt like I was working the chef, the angry British chef guy.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah. Yeah. And he was like, I'll fix it, but will you ever try to do this again? I was like, I will never touch a dent machine again. And I have never touched it since. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it should be two parts. Like, okay, here's the instrument. Here's how to play it. And then here's how to fix it. Like, we just need more time. I even called a repair shop and I was like, hey, can I just come hang out? Like, I just desperately want to know. And the other sad, I mean, good for me at the time, but like, you know, my high school, we had, you know, I kept good care of my instruments. I didn't have valve guides that were constantly messing up. And so now every high school I've been at, I'm like, what are you doing to these instruments to mess them up on a daily basis? Like, I don't understand what you're doing.
Yeah.
So that's terrible. The other thing would be, honestly, like I realized this at my last concert, because we had to do concerts in the gym, and I'm like following my partner along, and he's like taking bars out of the thing and like lifting up bleachers to pull the bleachers out. And I'm like, I don't know any of this. Like, it's a good thing you're here. One, because I wouldn't be able to reach the top of the bar by myself. Two, because it's like, they just don't go over. I mean, and I get it. That's like not really things you can go over, but just like, you know, just when you start, like, hey, here's everything you might need to know about the school or how to do things and how to get around. And I mean, yeah, they say make friends with the receptionists and the janitors and all that, but this is like new level of daily. Here's what you need.
If you all would like some repair experience, we are going to set a new record this year for repair and at Springfield Music and all of our stores. Last year was already a record. This will be a new record. So I'm sure if you'd like to help out in the shop this summer, they will gladly take you. We actually do have a couple of people that are doing just that. They're coming in to kind of help out and learn some stuff, things like that. But that is something that would be really useful for sure. And you're right. Like, who knows how to unfold those bleachers? Like, that's, and like some of them are old school where you have to like unlock it and pull it. And then of course you have to make sure when you push them back that you don't like kill a small child or something as you close them up, you know? And then some of them are electronic, and, you know, and then the basketball goals, like, yeah, it's like a whole thing.
Yeah. I would say one of my big two of things I wish I really would have known more of, go along with that, but really in respect to concerts in general, I'm sure that there's just a laundry list of things that I just don't even know what to think about in regards to prepping for a concert, like in the logistics and how chairs are going to be set up, how they're going to be transported to your room, from your room, how percussion equipment is going to be transported. There is no great way to get our percussion equipment down to our gym because the gym is on a lower level. We've got an elevator to get to the second or the first level of our school, but then there's another staircase that goes down to the gym, and to go out and around would be so damaging to the instruments. And there's a wheelchair lift that moves up and down, but apparently several years ago, I believe they tried using it for percussion equipment and did like $3,000 worth of damage. So that's a no-go. So I'm having kids lift very carefully, lift these this precious percussion equipment downstairs. And that's just not great. No. There's just so many details that go into concert planning. And for me, especially, I do have a colleague that was able to help me with a lot of this, but I still am running the middle school program on my own. And so there's just a lot of little details that even if we don't cover on what that would have looked or don't cover on how to make that happen, but at least what to think about, because I spent weeks just creating lists. I mean, it really, if you would have seen my packet, my concert packet, you would think I'm crazy because I had pages of diagrams and everything, because there's just so much swirling in my brain that I didn't even know how to make sense of it.
We could at least do a seminar on how to work around OSHA violations at your school and band program.
yes, exactly.
And having children pull down copper timpani down to a set of flight of stairs, like, yeah, it's going to be a cool lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly.
Local boy crushed by 300-pound timpani today.
right. It's just, there's so many things that go into just even the concert day that I wouldn't have thought about, nor would I have even known how to start. And I've had colleagues and mentors that helped me with that, helped me through it. But I felt completely lost. And then the second thing that I thought a lot about was the idea of starting beginner instruments all at the same time, because I've only been trained in like instrument classes, or like I've only known how to teach just the trumpets at once, or teach just our woodwinds class, even just brass and woodwinds. But to have to teach an entire class of beginners all at the same time to the mm-hmm. beginning of the year was a real learning curve. I think I've come to really enjoy it, but at the beginning of the year, I mean, my poor percussionists, and I think this is for every program, to be honest, I'm still learning how to navigate this, but my poor percussionists are having to wait while we're figuring out all these little details, or even just my brass players, assembling woodwinds takes so much time, but I can't ask my trumpet players to move on when we've definitely got to make this work. And so that's just something that I'm still not sure how to navigate fully, but I definitely had no idea stepping into my first year how to start beginners all at once.
Yeah, you're right. Not every, probably most programs actually aren't going to have multiple directors that can divide up the instrumentation so that you just get woodwinds and everything else. You're in a fortunate situation if you can. And even if you're divided between woodwinds and brass, that's still a lot to try to do even with that. And, you know, large districts may have flute only classes and trumpet only classes. We have some of those, but there's lots of others where it's, no, we just have the class and everyone's in it. that's a challenge for sure.
Yeah. Piggybacking off of Aubrey with the concert stuff. I agree. I would think about what's happening with the concert for like a month. There was one point I was in my office pacing, figuring out what I was saying. And one of my students walked in. She goes, "Miss Kestner, do I need to leave you?" And I'm like, "I'm so sorry, you." And she made fun of me for like 2 weeks that I was talking to myself. Not like a little bit of chit chatter, but like I was reciting speeches. The one thing I wish that they would teach in college, what you do during concerts, because there's logistics. And my thing that freaked me out is, what do I say? How often do I bow? Do I introduce this piece? Do I play two pieces in a row? When I had to like transfer high school band to beginning band, I had loud heels and I had to go to the other side of the gym, and it was an awkward transition. Like, it was just one of those things that how many concerts have we seen? But you get up there and you don't remember what you're conducting. You don't remember the names. So that is one thing I wish that we had, we're like forced into doing more. Cause I think, at least for my thing, I didn't have to introduce my piece in student teaching. It was like, here's the student teacher. I wish I was forced. Mm-hmm. I wish I was forced to figure out how to speak and everyone definitely being staring at you. That's one big thing for me. And the repair.
Most people, I think a survey showed most people are more afraid of public speaking than they are of death. I mean, can you imagine that? And so, which I could get that. I'm not afraid of death. Like, I'll die. I won't even know it. It'd be great. But I understand the concern for that. And like, you're right. Like, no one tells you what you're supposed to say at a concert. And nor do you get the chance to really practice that. When you were in elementary and high school, you probably had to practice saying your name and what piece you were going to play. You know, like your directors made you practice that. Why did we stop that practice when we got to college? We should have said like, hey, here's some things that you might try. Like, and here's what to say. And practice what you're going to say. Maybe write it down in the beginning, those first few years, until you get comfortable with it. Because a lot of young teachers have never spoken in front of that size of a group before. And it can be overwhelming.
Yeah. And another thing I wish we learned in college is just giving scenarios, because you hear teachers say you're going to be faced with this thing. You might have a big school, you might have a small school, know your guidelines for this or that. But I wish you were given scenarios like, hey, you're in a underfunded school. What's your concert attire? Or, hey, you have 30 stands and 50 band members. What do you do? What do you do with this? Or, hey, there's drama between this section and this section that involves these people. What would you do? Just like giving you scenarios, because I had my like expectations, no gum in the room. I was really proud of myself when I had signs that said three people in an instrument locker room, all that stuff. But then I realized my school's, a lot of the students are under poverty level, and their concert attire is usually just dress your best. But coming in, I wanted to do all black, and considering like, do I want to force kids to buy all black clothes? Like, I've heard of some schools having thrift wars where you see the fanciest outfit you can get for the cheapest. Do I want to do that? Or if I'm doing band dues, how much do I want to do for this? But if I know that we're going to have more charges, do I want to do that? Just, I wish there was more like scenario based, like opportunities in college to make you think and get uncomfortable with what you could be teaching.
That's so good. Do any of you do fundraising at your school? Did any of you talk about fundraising in college? Like how to decide what fundraiser to do, which ones are worthwhile, which ones are not? Anyway, that's another one that could be in that same whole scenario situation you're talking about of just things to consider. Some great stuff. You know, I can't help but look through this tremendous list that we've put together and think, couldn't we do fewer gen eds and have some classes focused on this in particular? I mean, I would think that that could be a thing that would be so much more useful than some of the classes that I took. Certainly having a session to work with how to deal with angry, unreasonable, and unprofessional parents would be handy for life. Like, you don't have to be an educator. Just like, all right, you're going to deal with jerks. Like, here's how to deal with jerks. Like, that would be fantastic. So, gosh, any university people that are listening to this, whether it's Missouri State or Truman or Lindenwood, any of these big teaching schools, they should take a look at this list. Anyone who can start to say, hey, we're going to teach you this stuff. You need to know this stuff. Like they're going to get all the students, I think, from that.
Thanks for listening to the Mo Better Bands podcast. If you have something to share, click the links in the show notes of your podcast app and leave us a message. Or email me directly at donovan@springfieldmusic.com. That's donovan@springfieldmusic.com. If you'd like to be a guest, would like to recommend a guest or a topic, shoot me a line. Thanks again for listening.